This is a warning. I repeat, this is a warning. Your brain may explode from listening to this show. We will not be held responsible if it does. What are you going to do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You've been warned. And now, welcome to the Racer X Podcast Show with Steve Mathis.
All right, this is the Racer X Podcast Show, and I'm talking to none other than Ivan Tedesco, number 9, Red Bull Racing, Honda, factory rider. What's up, IT?
Not much. Just got back from riding, just been a little relaxing.
I have to say I'm impressed because I text you yesterday morning for an interview. You said, yeah, let's do it later. And then, of course, you know, I mean, you probably had money to count or something like that. And then no reply. And I was like, okay, well, no big deal. I have to text him again. And then, bam, out of the blue, you call me. So you remember.
Yeah, I try to be a good guy and got back with you. And it's been kind of a crazy week. And I got married last week, so I was doing that. And then I came out to Florida. And I've been out in California for a couple of months. I came out back out to Florida and got back settled down out here. And I'm going to finish off the year out here in Florida.
What were you doing in California for that long? I didn't realize.
Well, we had me and my wife had the baby boy right after Vegas.
Yeah.
The week before Glen Helen. So, you know, and her family all lives out there in California. So when I'd be gone on the weekend, she needed some help. And her whole family was there to help her out. First couple of months with the newborn, we kind of had to do that deal. But he's good now and came out to Florida to finish the year off.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Must be nice to be back home, right? In the sweltering heat of Florida.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. It's been hot in California, you know, it's been in the hundreds, but mm-hmm. You know, you forget how gnarly that humidity is. You know, I just started riding here this week and it kind of kicked my ass with that humidity. And you forget how gnarly it is out here.
I heard, I know down like where Reedy and JT are, there's been a lot of showers. Do you get that up there too or no?
Yeah, we've been getting quite a bit of rain last couple of weeks. Actually, right now it's kind of thundering outside because it's going to rain again, but the track's been good the last couple of days. It's actually been helping it out. Once it rains and the sun comes out, man, it gets so hot here.
You know, I'm glad you called me back. And I always think of you as a guy that, like, might be the least superstar star of our sport. You know what I mean? Like, I guess nothing really came easy to you as an amateur. You've always had to work for it. And you've always struck me as a guy that's like, yeah, this is just what I do for a living. You know what I mean? Not a lot of ego with you, I don't think.
I hope I come across that way. You know, that's cool that you say that. I just race dirt bikes for a living. I don't do anything different than anybody else. It's just that I have a talent of racing motorcycles and just try to be cool and not act like a rock star. There is a lot of rock stars in the sport, and it seems to get worse and worse. I've been around for a while, and there's not too many down-to-earth people around anymore.
I know. That's kind of like how a guy like you strikes me. I'm like, It's odd for a guy to be normal like you, right? it's not that you're like doing anything special. You're just normal, but you stand out.
Yeah. Well, thanks. That means a lot to me. I try to be good to the fans and all you guys, all the media, and I just try to be a normal person. Like I said before, there's a lot of people that, you know, I don't know if it's how they're brought up or what, but mm-hmm. not too down to earth. I don't really hang out with too many racers, so.
I think it's a case of, unlike yourself, these kids have been on a pedestal since they were 10, and everything's free and everything's given them and everybody's catered to them, and they don't know any different. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I've been around for I've been pro for almost 10 years now, and I've seen a lot of kids come up and. Yeah, it does seem a little bit different than when I first started racing. You know, everything's kind of handed to guys now, and all these kids, they expect so much, but, you know, they're not even out there winning. They're, you know, mm-hmm. getting top tens, and they kind of got a chip on their shoulder and think they deserve this and that. But, you know, in my book, I think you got to deserve it, you know, go win some races.
Yeah, no, good point. What's going on with you for next year? Contracts up? Anything? Can you report anything new? Anything exciting going on? I mean, you're going to be, you and Dungy, I would think, would be the. I mean, Reed's probably going back to Suzuki, but you and Dungy, I would think, are the two guys that kind of are holding things up. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a weird year with the way the economy is and bike sales being down and all that, and no one really knows how much money they could spend and what their budgets are. You know, everybody's no one's even signed a deal as of this year. So, you know, like you said, Dungy's up. There's a lot of good guys up, and there's a lot of slots to fill. But all the manufacturers are kind of seems like they're waiting for the other manufacturers to make the first move, and everybody's trying to figure out their money situation.
Are you talking to somebody? Are you pretty deep in contracts with somebody? What are you thinking?
I mean, at this stage, I'm talking to everybody, and you know, a lot of people are interested. It's just a matter of everybody figuring out what their budgets are and what they want to do. And no one's really made a move yet, and I don't know. We'll see. I mean, luckily I've been having a good outdoor season. My Supercross season wasn't so good, and luckily I've been better in the outdoors, and hopefully I can get a good ride.
Yeah, I think you'll get a good ride. You know what's funny is I always point to when you signed with Suzuki. I mean, wasn't it like in the middle of Supercross, or was it when you signed with Honda?
Yeah, I was talking to actually Dungy about that, and every deal I've ever signed been before outdoor started.
Yeah,
started my career, and kind of weird for me to go this long, and I'm not too stressed out about it. It is what it is, and I'm sure I'll land somewhere good.
Yeah, I was wondering, does it stress you out? Is it in your mind when you're riding, when you're practicing training? I mean, does it get to you? I mean, it's got a little bit, right?
It hasn't really bothered me so far. You know, I mean, we're almost in the outdoors and haven't signed a deal. But you know, like I said, it is what it is, and you know, I've been doing this for quite a while now. It's not that big of a deal. I just try and do my job. I got a task at hand to try and do good outdoors right now, and you know, if I do my job, I'll land somewhere good, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I really wanted to do one of these with you after your tremendous Lakewood, Colorado ride, but you made a point of saying that your phone's going to be blowing up now because, you know, you're the man. So I waited till you went 11-11 at Washougal. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was an awesome weekend, man.
Yeah, talk about that, man. Like, second moto, when you were down the first turn, you had to be just going, oh, man, like, not again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I used some more choice words than oh, man. But,
right.
Yeah, it was just a bad weekend, you know. I've crashed in the second corner in the first moto and came from last back to 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then that second moto, I don't even know what happened, but went down to the first corner, and then my bike ended up about 100 feet away from me. I don't even know. I was standing around looking for my bike for about 20 seconds. Finally, someone up in the crowd was pointing to my bike down the hill, and had to run down and start it up, and finished 11th again. It was a consistent day for me, but, yeah, it was lost a lot of points. You know, Grant passed me in points, and Reed got away a lot more. He was already quite a ways ahead of me, but ended that point. It was a good day for him. He made up a lot of points on a lot of guys.
Yeah, and talk about one track I wouldn't want to come from last on. It's Washougal. Oh, you know, man. You got to be throttle control. You got to be real careful where you're riding, and not a lot of places to pass. That's probably the worst one.
Yeah, it was tough, and also the roost is so hurt so bad there. You know, and I opted to not wear an under protector like an idiot, and went down for both motos, and I was all bruised up after that one.
Mm-hmm. What do you attribute your outdoor season to? I mean, I guess the people forget you've been hurt, and that's what probably is a cause of maybe you not being a front runner. But is it just being healthy, or did something click? I mean, do you like that new bike a lot? I mean, what's going on? What's the difference for you this year?
Well, like you said, I've had some injuries over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and been a tough road for me, and you know, kind of had to claw my way back. And no excuses this Supercross season. You know, I was healthy and ready to go and had a good off season. I just, for some reason, couldn't make it happen during Supercross and never felt comfortable. And the outdoors, I've been feeling a little more comfortable. Some weekends have been better than others. But, you know, like I said, at Colorado, I felt really good, obviously, and some other races. But, you know, in Supercross, I never really found that place where I felt comfortable that I could hang it out that front runner pace. Outdoors has been a little bit better, and you know, obviously I've been up front a lot more, and I don't know, just things are starting to click for me. My confidence is getting up. It's a lot of things.
It seemed like in Supercross, around halfway, either you got in a rut, something happened around halfway, and it kind of just slowly settled in that one spot after that. Like in the Anaheims and stuff, you were riding really good, I thought, and you could take that next step up, but then something happened around halfway. Maybe when we went back east or something, you know?
Yeah, no, I'd say I kind of hit rock bottom around Daytona. You know, I guess that's about halfway. And I don't know. I mean, during the off season, going into this year, I told myself I'm going to do everything possible to try and be a front runner and you know, not cut any corners, or not that I have in the past. But
yeah.
I told myself I was going to really, really do everything I could as far as my training and everything. And I think I might have overdid a little bit in the off season and into the first part of the season, and kind of dug myself into a hole. And around Daytona, man, I just had no energy left, and kind of dug myself into a hole. And it took me a little bit to get out of that. And you know, towards the end, like Vegas, I started feeling pretty good. And you know, obviously coming into outdoors, I got better. But yeah, I don't know. Just that and the confidence. I wasn't real comfortable with my bike during Supercross. We were kind of working on that and struggling with that a little bit. And I don't know, just kind of knocked my confidence down a little bit.
Before Washougal, I did the math, and if you had, and I'm sure you've done it too, if you had went like 5.5 at Glen Helen, which is entirely capable, you'd be like within 6 or 7 points of the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sucks, man. That started Glen Helen like that, started outdoor season with no points, but, you know, it is what it is. I made a mistake that first moto and went down and hit my head, and I probably could have rode the second moto, but you know, I was kind of dizzy, and Glen Helen's not the best track to ride a little bit dizzy, and my vision wasn't quite right. So
yeah.
I opted to not ride that second one, and obviously I made the right choice because the next weekend I was good to go. But you know, you can't really look backwards and look forward and do the best you can.
Yeah, probably a good point. When I think about you as a rider, I don't know whether you're a better Supercross or outdoor rider. What do you think? You seem to be the same either way, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think earlier in my career I was definitely a better Supercross rider, and it took me a while to figure outdoors out. I don't know if it's just where I grew up racing or all that, but I was pumped when I first started racing pro to get points outdoors. You know, I was always you know, right around the top 20 and kind of slowly worked my way up every year, got a little bit better and better, and then ended up winning the title in 05. And you know, since then, I think I've always been pretty good outdoors, and I think I'm getting better with age, you know, on the outdoor circuit.
Yeah, you're starting to figure it out a little bit. I did one of these with Johnny O a little while back, and we talked about him working with you, and like he was saying, he's really not a trainer for you, per se. He's just more of like a life coach. Talk about what he does for you and how he helps you.
Yeah, I started working with him, I think it was around November before the season. And he's a great guy. He's got a lot of knowledge, and he's really smart about dirt bike racing. Obviously, he had a successful career, and he's still been involved with it. He's not really my trainer, I would say. He goes to the track with me when I'm in California every day and works with me on my technique and just basically just like a mentor, I guess you'd say. Trying to keep me in line and make sure I'm doing things right.
And does he ever just get on you and be like, man, and I remember when I was racing with RJ, I would I would do this.
No, for sure. He gets on me, you know what? He knows what I'm capable of doing, and you know, he sees me ride every day, and when I'm not doing that on the weekend when I need to be doing it, you know, he gets a little frustrated with me, and he should, you know, he knows what I'm capable of doing, and when I'm not doing it, you know, it's frustrating for everybody. So, you know, he tries to keep me in line and make me realize, you know, on the weekends that I should be up front.
He doesn't strike me as the type of guy, and there's a lot of these in the sport right now. You know, like you're his meal ticket, right? You pay him. And I think some guys get away from the fact that that is how it works, and they sort of just bow down to what the person paying them wants to hear or wants to see. Johnny O strikes me as the type of guy that he would just walk away. And like, he doesn't really need the money, doesn't care.
No, for sure.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure it's a good thing. He's there for the right reasons, and he wants to win, you know, and he wants to help me to win. And he's not there for the money. He enjoys it, and he wants to – it would get along good. And you know, I feel like I have a pretty hard work ethic, and, you know, he respects that. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of guys around that just – you know, do whatever the rider wants, and they call him a trainer. You know, they go to the track with him. And
go to the bar with him.
Doesn't, yeah, exactly. With the bar.
That's true.
Whatever
though.
You want to say.
That's true.
But, and there's a lot of. I mean, you know that you call them trainers, just kind of Klingons, if you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. What's the one thing Johnny O's helped you with the most? I mean, anything in life, or just what's one thing that he's really helped you with?
I mean, one thing is just believing in myself. You know, just, I've had a rough couple of years, and just reminding me that I have won championships in the past, and that I can do it. And on the riding side, he's really helped me out a lot with my cornering and just being more efficient on the bike. You know, just not overriding it. You know, on a 450, you could get out of hand pretty quick, and just holding it wide open isn't always the fastest way around the track.
Yeah. Go slow to go fast.
Yeah, exactly.
A few years ago there, you moved to Texas, and now you're in Florida in the panhandle area there. Why the move? What was up with Texas? Did you not like it? What went behind that?
Well, yeah, I got to the point in my career where I felt like I needed to have my own setup with my own tracks and just have that whole deal like a lot of guys do. And I don't know, I looked in Florida originally and things didn't really work out, and you know, found a place in Texas that I'd like, and had some friends out there, and went ahead and made the jump and moved out there and built a couple of supercross tracks and outdoor track and had my own setup, and it was good. It was a good setup. I had a good program out there. Really, aside from racing, just the life out there. Just I didn't really like it, you know, and wasn't really happy, and decided to make the move to Florida. And I talked to Ricky about riding at his spot, and he said, yeah, go ahead and move down here, and it's worked out good.
I thought you had your own deal in Texas, like your own land and your own tracks and all that.
Yeah, I did. I had like 50 acres out there where I built a couple of supercrosses and an outdoor track and had a house on the land and the whole deal, and ended up selling it and sold it right away, like within 3 weeks, and made the move to Tallahassee.
Nice. Let's talk about you coming up a little bit. I remember your brother. He was pretty fast and was a guy that was in the magazines. And to be honest, I don't remember a whole lot about Ivan Tedesco coming up. But how'd you do it, like Loretta's and all that stuff?
Yeah, I did all right. I was always, you know, a top five, top three guy. I never won Loretta's. I got a lot of seconds and thirds there. And there was always somebody that was better than me. You know, I grew up racing Pastrana and Buckaloo, McGavern. There's a lot of Billy Payne. There's a lot of guys that were always just a little bit better than me. Yeah, I was always right in there, but I didn't really get too much exposure, you know. Those other guys kind of took all that. And, you know, like you said, my brother was really good. We grew up racing with each other. He's about 2 years older than me. And then he turned pro before me and had a bad head injury at Anaheim, and that kind of retired him.
I thought that was Houston. No, Anaheim?
Yeah, I think Anaheim 3 or one of those Anaheims.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember you, when you turned pro, you weren't both of you out of a van riding Yamahas? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, after Loretta's, me and my buddy, Mark Thompson, guy from Texas, we went straight from Loretta's, jumped in the truck, and went and did Millville and Binghamton and Steel City. And that kind of opened my eyes that I wasn't quite ready and wasn't in shape. And that's kind of when I realized I needed to buckle down and really get serious about it.
How'd you do in those first few nationals?
I didn't score any points. You know, I had some speed. I rode pretty good, was up front a little bit, but just didn't have the endurance and kind of faded. That's when I realized I needed to take it more serious and start training.
Well, that would have been 99 or 98?
Yeah, that was 99.
99, right, yeah. So the next year you got a Plano. Was it next year? Yeah, the next year you were Plano Honda.
Yep.
And how did that get about, you getting that ride? Because I mean, like I said, you were a three-digit guy, and they were a new established team. So how did that come about?
Well, I rode for Yamaha as an amateur, and I was kind of between me and Buckaloo for that Yamaha Troy ride, and obviously he got that and had to find somewhere else to go, and Kenny Watson was starting up that Plano Honda team, and they just approached me. They saw something in me and ended up signing a two-year deal with them, that was for the 2000-2001, and ended up getting injured the whole 2000 Supercross season, so I missed that. I didn't even race Supercross then, and made like a mid-year outdoor 2000 season.
And then, did you know Watson before, or was that the first time you had met him?
No, actually, yeah, that was when I met him at, I think, Millville. Yeah, right around there when I went to the last couple outdoors.
Oh,
I met
okay.
him, and that's when we became friends. Obviously, we're still
yeah.
good friends to this day.
Yeah, you are. I noticed that Watson's come out, and he's man-friended for you once in a while. And I mean, there's probably not too many more characters in the sport than Kenny Watson. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. He's an awesome guy. A lot of people don't get him. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and sometimes that's not what people want to hear. But you know, he's always been a good friend of mine, and he's always had my back. You know, through the ups and downs, and I consider him a true friend of mine, and you know, he's a good guy.
And it's cool. Like, he was out of the industry for a little while, and you went on to, you know, the heights that you're at now, but you've never forgotten him. You know what I mean? You guys are still bros, still hang out, and I think that's cool.
No, for sure. You know, he, like I said before, he's a true friend of mine. And, you know, whether I worked at Home Depot and he worked at McDonald's, we'd be friends. You know, yeah, he's just a good guy.
The one thing I can't figure out about Watson, and I've known him since 96, why is it like one minute he'll talk your face off and the next minute he won't take your call? Watson.
I don't know. Who knows what goes through his head sometimes, you know?
Am I right, though? I'm right, right? I mean,
he's not like that with me.
No,
but,
okay.
You know, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
you
yeah. I've been trying to call the guy for like a week, and nothing. I'm finally just texting him saying, whatever, bro, and I still don't get nothing. But anyways.
Maybe Kerry's not letting him answer his phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did one of these with him, and Kerry was yelling at him in the background. It was great, and he was all, I'm about to get fired right now. I'm going to get fired right now. Watch this. And also, you know what? Another thing about your Plano days, and this is no slam against Kenny or anything, but I don't think that bike was that good. CR125.
Honestly, I thought it was a pretty good bike.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
Obviously, I didn't know much back then about setup or what was good or what was bad. But I ended up going to Yamaha Troy the year after that,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it was a little bit better there. But you know, that Plano bike wasn't bad. You know, Mitch did the whole bike, and we ended up running that older
cylinder
CR125 cylinder. I don't remember what year it was. 95.
It was a 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Mitch had a lot of experience with that motor, so
mm-hmm.
it ended up being a pretty decent motor, and obviously suspension was pretty decent. Bones kind of did some testing with us, and you know, I've always liked Mitch's stuff. You know, obviously, and
yeah.
I rode for him as an amateur, and they kind of knew what I liked.
Gothic J spinning the wrenches. Back then,
yeah, that's right, yeah, Gothic J.
Yeah, and now he's working for Shorty, so a lot of
yep.
history there. Did he ever scare you? Did Gothic J ever? Did you ever go to a Halloween party with him or anything?
Yeah, I did actually. I don't even know if it was a Halloween party, but it seemed like it. I went over to his house for a party. A bunch of us went over there. Everybody's dressed in like, you know, all the Gothic stuff, face paint, and I think Jay had a cape on. I can't remember.
Yeah, you're like, I gotta go.
he's a different guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, he is. He's a great friend of mine. I've worked with him for a while at Yamaha. But and you did pretty good in 2001 on a Honda at a few Supercrosses. I believe you podiumed one.
Yeah, podium Salt Lake City. That was my first podium. And ended up fifth in the series that year. And yeah, that's when I started kind of figuring it out. You know,
right.
I've always been pretty good at Supercross. It kind of came more naturally to me. And yeah, it was good. I got a podium. I think it was the last West Coast of that year.
Yeah, that had been good and propelled you to a Yamaha Troy ride. And you were kind of at Yamaha Troy right when near the end of your Yamaha Troy career. It was kind of right when the team was getting to be a little old, a little long in the tooth, let's say. What was it like riding for them?
It was good. You know, right when I signed, Kehoe ended up leaving. He went to Honda,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Phil kind of, you know, took the reins and took it over, and you know, it was good. The bike was still good. You know, Dean Baker was doing the motors, and Ross was doing our suspension. So we had still all the good guys doing all our stuff, and you know, that 125 was a decent bike, but that was when the four stroke kind of came about, and
yeah,
they kind of focused more on developing that than the 125.
But didn't you? Yeah, but you you won a Supercross on the 125 versus the 250 Fs. I remember because I was at Yamaha. And
yeah, that Pontiac.
Yeah, that was cool, huh? That was pretty
East Coast race.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah, that was good. You know, that was about the point when the four strokes were taking over,
mm-hmm.
and you know, my start definitely sucked that year, and finally got to start that race, and yeah, finally won one.
All right, and then so you go to Mitch's team and you tear it up there. That's where you really started establishing yourself. And I guess, you know, Mitch has this, this reputation of taking almost anyone and turning them into, you know, giving them career best results. You know, if you were a 10th place guy before, you would now be a 5th place guy. A 5th place guy, you'd be a, you know, a winner. What do you think it is after being around that team for so long? What is it that that team makes you do better?
I really don't know. I mean, it's just obviously the bike is really good, and it's just something about that team. You know, they just make you believe in yourself. You know, they do whatever it takes and go out there and work with you, and they're really hands on. You know, Mitch will call you almost every day, and it just makes you believe in yourself and makes you work hard. And you know, I've always worked hard, but just I don't know. They just got a certain something over there that wins championships and races. And you know, some guys couldn't handle the pressure over there. It is a lot of pressure, because when you go to that team, you're expected to win, and if you're not winning, it's going to be a rough couple years for you, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you were kind of on the upswing. I mean, everybody could see that you were, you know, you were coming up and up and up. I'm thinking of guys like Goose or Ryan Morris or, you know, guys like that. They just jump on and all of a sudden, boom, they're winning or podium, you know, and nothing against those guys, but just that team, so.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's definitely I don't know if you call it luck or what, but the guy can make something out of anybody, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even Hansen this last week, I know it's just the X Games and whatnot, but you know, there was some good guys racing, and you know, he beat some, you know, quality guys.
Yeah, no X Games for you. You didn't want to do the step up.
I wanted to race the Supercross.
Did you?
You know, they wanted me to focus on the outdoors, and you know, looking back at it, it's a smart choice. And you know, some guys got injured, and you know, I guess you could get injured any time, you know. But you know, just, when you're kind of in the outdoor mode, and then you got to jump into a Supercross, it's kind of tough to do.
Yeah, for sure. Your buddy RC didn't have a great step up either. That event might be the dumbest thing ever. But
yeah, because if you want to win it, you got to go big, and you know what happens. You know what happens when you do that.
Yeah, exactly. When you were done at PC, you know, you there's Nations Champion and Outdoor Champion and Supercross Champion. Could you have gone anywhere you wanted? Did you have a lot of offers?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I talked to pretty much everybody and had an offer from everybody. And I don't know, I just I talked to Ricky a lot, and he told me how good Suzuki was, and I kind of wanted to kind of be under his wing, you know, because I knew he had a lot of knowledge, obviously, and it would be a good teammate to have, and I was happy with my choice. You know, I went there, had one good year there, but then had some injuries, but you know, Ricky's taught me a lot, and I got a good friend out of the deal, I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, because you were probably the hottest guy to sign, you know what I mean, as far as riders, so I imagine you had your pick, and the money just started rolling in.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, obviously, the money, you gotta do what's right for your career. But I made the choice on other, you know, other things,
right.
You know, of who's on the team and bike and all that. So.
Now, when you left Suzuki, I mean, I heard they wanted you back. I heard you weren't happy there. Is that true? I mean, as much as you want to get into it.
I don't know. I just that last year I had that, you know, a couple injuries and wasn't the best year, and I don't know, everybody was kind of frustrated, you know, which I understand. You know, they were kind of frustrated with me, and I was frustrated with the situation I was in, and I just felt like I needed to make a change on everything, which I did, and signed with Honda, and you know, that was that.
Yeah, what was it, the bike? Was it the team?
I think it was more.
I'm pinning you down here, bud.
just me being injured and wasn't performing up to everybody's expectation, including mine, and you know, I just felt like I needed to make a change just to try and get out of that rut I was in.
Yeah. I imagine when Bubba landed on you at Toronto there, you're probably thinking, well, you know, what ladder did I walk under?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a bad deal, and
yeah,
you know, it sucked the way he handled that, because he didn't really, you know, ever say sorry or come over and say, dude, I made a mistake. He was just kind of laughing about it, and
yeah.
I still kind of hold a grudge against him for that. You know, it wasn't the fact that he did land on me. It was the way he handled it. I didn't think he was a man about it and you know, come over and say, hey, dude, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. You know?
Right. If he had, it'd be water under the bridge, you figure?
Yeah, you know, I mean, everybody makes mistakes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it was a stupid move. It was in practice, and you know, but just the way he handled it, and you know, that's just the way he is. You know, he doesn't think he ever does anything wrong, and he thinks he should be the only one out on the track sometimes, but. Yeah, that's a whole other story.
I'm sure there are some 125 riders that would vouch for that when he was in the 125 Supercross class.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, and then you know you got to respect the guy. He's gnarly on the motorcycle, and but you know there is 19 other guys out there on the track with you.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. Hey, well, who was your hero growing up in New Mexico? And I mean, was it Paul Lindsay? Who was your hero?
there was a couple local guys that were older. The guy named Robbie Claus. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him.
I never have.
Travis Hodges. He ended up racing.
Oh yeah, Hodges. Yep.
Yeah, he was old school New Mexico guy. So I grew up looking up to those guys, and then all the Johnsons and Ryan Clark and all those guys who grew up racing each other. And you know, yeah. Ryan Clark actually helped me out a lot growing up. He was older than me and. Kind of took me under his wing and showed me how to ride a motorcycle. Basically, he kind of taught me how to ride and take me riding every day. And you know, he really helped me out a lot.
I never knew that. Good for Ryan. What is it about? Like, I mean, the talent pool has kind of slowed out of New Mexico, but man, for a little while there, it was all of you guys, the Johnsons and Isaiah. Yeah, all the Johnsons and Ryan and you and your brother. And let's face it, New Mexico riding areas to me doesn't look like, you know, the most fertile proving grounds out there. What was it that got all you guys to be so good?
I don't know. I you know, we all, there was probably about 10, you know, I don't know, about 10, about 7 of us that were pretty good riders. And
yeah.
We'd all meet up at the same track and race each other, ride with each other. And there wasn't much racing around there. You know, there was maybe one or two local tracks, and we'd have to go up to Colorado a lot and Texas and California to race any quality riders and quality tracks. So, you know, the tracks ain't too good out there, but we made it happen.
I have to say that if you would have asked me back then, I would have said Buckaloo was the best one and would be the best
he
one.
Was.
He was bad,
sure.
Yeah,
he was a good rider, man. Growing up, he was always the best, and you know, he looked like he was on his way. I don't really know what happened. Yeah, he won a
Supercross.
Supercrosses in the lights class, and then I'm not sure what happened to him.
And maybe the least likely guy would be you.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
you know,
probably,
I mean, not to slam you, not to slam on you or nothing, but.
Yeah, you know, my brother was always better than me, and you know, all those guys were good. Isaiah, Keith, and Kevin Johnson, and Ryan Clark was really good, and you know, I was like one of the youngest guys, and I don't know, ended up working out, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so. It worked out pretty good. What do you think about the media, motocross media, and the message boards and all that? You get a fair shake from those guys, everybody?
The message boards, all that, I don't really keep up on all that because mm-hmm. I think I'd get too mad if people were talking crap on me. But I think it's good. It you know, people are that into it. And the internet, a lot of people get to, you know, like what we're doing right now, an interview. You know, people get to check us out and you know, give their insight of what they think.
Mm-hmm. And in the media, no problems with anybody in the media? You've always gotten a fair shake, you think?
Yeah, I've always gotten along good with everybody, and I think some of that is I feel like I'm a pretty approachable guy and pretty you know, mellow about everything, so I think that helps for sure.
Even when you called me the new TFS? Thanks a lot.
Hey, when you slam me, I got to throw some punches back, right?
Have I slammed you? I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe.
Hey, you're just calling it how you see it.
Oh, wait, I did when you came back at Southwick last year.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we got into it before, but, you know, the whole point of that was, man, that was just a shadow of you, you know what I mean? And
no, I know.
Yeah.
I knew what you were saying. It's just that it sucked hearing it, you know, because, and plus, you know, you not knowing the whole situation, so it was,
yeah.
It just made everybody else look at it like, oh, yeah, he sucks now, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully I didn't convey that. I think I knew that you were somewhat hurt.
No, it's all good. You were just calling it how you saw it, and
yeah,
that's cool. You expect more from me.
Yeah. No, I definitely do. What about the national format? You like the one day? You a fan of that?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. You know, it's one more day at home. You're able to to relax one more day. It's such a short week when you're gone the whole weekend, and then you got to get your training in during the week. So I think it's good for that. And I like the Saturday, and then you get to come home on Sunday for sure.
I know, it's nice, huh? What about the tracks? Everybody else is weighing in on the grooming of the tracks or the non-grooming of the tracks. What's your take on that? I mean, you're buddies with RC, and I think you're one of the guys that really puts a lot of work in. So I'm guessing you're saying leave them alone.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if they just tuned up the what's dangerous, you know, some of it does get dangerous, but other than that, just leave it rough. And they have done that at some. Red Bud was really rough, and I felt like Washougal, they left pretty rough. But, yeah, some of them were like highways, you know, especially the first couple laps. It was like such a high speed, you know, mm-hmm. And when you're going that fast and something does happen, then it's even more dangerous.
The smoothest one might have been Lakewood, and look how good you did there.
yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I think with that track, they almost have to, you know, with the lights and everything. Yeah. If they left it rough and rutted, it would be a safety issue.
What's your favorite national track?
I've always liked Bud's Creek. Bud's Creek's always good, and Red Bud, they always do a good job there. And obviously, Colorado, I always ride really well there, so that I like that one.
Yeah, and you still don't think Colorado this year was your best race ever, best outdoor race ever?
I don't know. Yeah, and looking back on it now, yeah, I think it was.
Dude, you were so good.
I mean, looking back on it, yeah, not being that race was kind of easy for me. I mean, not being like cocky or whatever.
No, yeah.
Sometimes you have those days, you know, and everything clicked for me. I got both hole shots, which actually helped, but, you know, just everything, it just came to me, you know, and it was easy.
Did you pull a tear off in either moto?
Actually, I pulled them all right off the first lap after I got the hole shot. I pulled them all, and it was easy, a lot easier to see with no tear-offs.
That's a little cocky. Okay, bud, that's a little cocky. Pump your brakes there. You're like, I won't be needing these anymore.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, are you and Reedy okay? You guys are, I mean, I know you guys slammed into each other at Red Bud. There's been some things in the past, but, I mean, how's that?
No, you know what? It's been good this year. He's grown up a lot or whatever. I don't know. He's been a lot cooler this year.
Uh-huh.
We've actually gotten along and, you know, talked a little bit this year more than we have. You know, we got into it pretty heavy there in, I think it was 06, my first year in the 450 class. And
yeah.
We hated each other. And you know, I wanted to fight the guy a couple of times, you know. But I don't know. Yeah, we've been getting along a lot better this past year. I think, I don't know if he's going to say he's grown up or whatever, but he's definitely a lot nicer guy these days.
What's one thing that bugs you in the motocross industry? What's something that really just bugs you?
Just all the egos, you know. Everybody's like, I know it's sports and it's competitive, and you know, you got to kind of have that little bit of ego in you. But just I don't know, there's all these punk kids and everybody just thinking they're a badass, you know, when they're not.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I like to refer to it as the shopping mall test. And the shopping mall test is if you can walk down a shopping mall and nobody recognizes you, you probably aren't that big of a deal.
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's what I kind of have my own little theory on that. I mean, you might get recognized in Tallahassee or maybe Murrieta, but...
Yeah, Murrieta for sure, because it's, you know, moto is so big out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. We're done.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Any last words?
No, just... Hopefully I can finish off the outdoor season with a bang and carry that into Supercross. You know, this Supercross season was a struggle for me, and I know I'm a good Supercross rider, so hopefully I could be a front runner next year and make it happen.
I just want to see who you sign with.
Yeah, me too.
So, hey, so let me ask you this. Is a factory connection 450 deal, is that something in the work? Could that happen, or is that a total BS rumor?
No, from what I hear, it's just all about sponsorship. Everybody's trying to find money.
Right. So that's not just something that I dreamt up or something that I heard.
No, we're not on air, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And like I said, I appreciate your honesty. And like I said, you're one of the normal guys out there. And for that, you should be commended.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later, Ivan.
Going to be at Unadilla?
No, I won't be at Unadilla. I'm going to Canada to go race. I got to be a mechanic for Ping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're racing at outdoor?
He's racing the last Canadian outdoor race.
Who won the last one? Carpenter win or no?
No, Carpenter didn't win. He Actually, it's funny. We're still on the air, but every time I go up there and I just got back, he's always like, "How's Tedesco? How's it going? How was he?"
I hope he is. It an impossibility for him to win the title? Or,
no, he there was a mud race 2 weeks ago, like torrential mud race. They only ran one moto, and the dude who was winning, Fasciati, got second, and Paul got way back. So there was a slim chance before that, but now there's nothing. And this past weekend in Moncton, Paul got third. He went like 4-3. Canary went 3 DNF. But Fasciati went 1-1 again. So doesn't look like it's going to happen for Paulie.
Right on, dude.
But if you ever need a ride in Canada next year, like if things don't quite work out, I can probably get you $2,000 or $3,000 a race. Times 9 races, that's quite a bit of money. So
there you go. He's working at McDonald's, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Look in your couch cushions. You probably have that much right now. All right.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you at the next race then.
Yep, sounds good, Ivan. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
See you.